Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is Brian Lehr's Daily Politics Podcast from WNYC Studios. It's Wednesday, November 15th. I'm Bridget Bergen, senior reporter in the WNYC in Gothamist Newsroom, filling in for Brian today. As a country, we were on the precipice of major uncertainty again. A looming government shutdown just before the holidays, and in one bright spot from an otherwise really weird day in Congress, we will talk about the almost fist fights another time, House members passed a stopgap measure to continue funding the government.
On this vote, the yeas are 336, the nays are 95. Two-thirds being in the affirmative, the rules are suspended. The bill is passed, and without objection, the motion to reconsider is laid on the table.
By all accounts, that is very good news for the economy. A major source of uncertainty is off the table. But will that help bolster the moods of Americans in terms of how they feel about their personal finances? It's too soon to know for sure, but there's definitely room for improvement. Of all the takeaways from the New York Times Siena College poll released last week, more than half of those polled said that Biden's policies had hurt them personally. The Federal Reserve's recently released Survey of Consumer Finances, however, paints a dramatically different picture. Comparing Americans' net worth and income to that of 3 years ago, Americans in every income bracket saw sustainable gains in their net worth. If the economy has been improving post-COVID, whether as a result of President Biden's policies or something else, then why don't Americans feel that way? Joining me now to talk about that gap between the mostly positive economic indicators and how Americans perceive the state of the economy is James Surowiecki, a contributing writer for The Atlantic and the author of The Wisdom of Crowds. James, welcome back to WNYC.
Thanks for having me on.
Let's talk about your latest piece in The Atlantic. You looked at the numbers from the Federal Reserve's Survey of Consumer Finances, as I mentioned in the intro. It shows that Americans in every income bracket saw substantial gains, with the biggest gains registered by people in the middle and upper middle brackets. So where or maybe how is net worth growing for middle and upper middle class Americans?
Yeah, so the Survey of Consumer Finances, just a little bit of background, is a survey that the Federal Reserve does every 3 years. So it only comes out every 3 years, and it's really detailed. They have this, you know, professional surveyor, survey company look at interview people and really go in depth into people's net worth, their income, the whole thing. And this particular survey was done, and because of that, it takes a long time. So what this survey looked at was people's net worth, their sort of home balance sheets as of 2022, and they compared it to 2019, which was right before the pandemic and was the last time that the survey had been done. And as you said, what they found was that pretty much across the board, Americans in every income bracket or wealth quintile, whatever you want to call it, saw gains. The biggest gains were for people in the middle and sort of the upper middle, like the 70 to 80, 90% of the income spectrum. Mm-hmm. And I think that the biggest source of those gains predictably was the increase in the value of people's homes, which was very impressive. And that's almost by definition. You know, most Americans, their homes are their biggest asset. For a lot of Americans, it's almost their only asset. And so the increase in home values translated into, you know, a very large increase in their net worth. But we also saw increases in people's financial assets. So in part, that's the stock market, but we also just the amount of money people had in the bank went up as well. People paid down debt. And one thing to keep in mind is that these numbers are all median numbers. So, you know, they're really looking at, they're not, it's not just, oh, well, a few people at the top did really well and that skewed the whole thing. It's when you look at the median net worth of literally the average American, it rose by something like 37% between 2019 and 2022. you know, which is a substantial gain.
And yet, the New York Times Siena College poll was getting a lot of traction in the media this past week. Other recent surveys show much of the same. Only 21% of those surveyed said that their finances had improved under Biden's presidency. That's according to a Bankrate poll. 33% surveyed said that they were actually worse off financially under the Biden administration. That's according to an ABC News Washington Post poll. So what specifically do you think Americans are reacting to, James?
I think the simple answer is inflation. You know, you mentioned the sticker shock at the grocery store, and I think that is the primary driver of the way that people feel about the economy. Gas prices as well, even though, you know, gas prices have been relatively stable now for a year or so, you know, they're still significantly higher than they were, certainly when Biden took office, and certainly than they were at the bottom of the pandemic in sort of 2020. And I think it's really that. I think inflation is, we just don't have that much experience with inflation for a lot of people. I mean, it's really been, literally decades, with the exception of a little spike in like 2006, 2007. It's really been decades since we've had what felt like significant inflation. And I think people are just, we're shocked by it. I mean, almost kind of literally. And I think that's the biggest thing.
Hmm.
And the thing that's striking about it is that the reality is, so, you know, the net worth thing, the survey of consumer finances, okay, that's, you know, the value of people's homes went up or whatever. And you could say, all right, that's not real money. It's hard to tap it or whatever it is. But, you know, real wages for the vast majority of Americans are now higher than they were in 2019. Even when you take inflation into account, you know, the wage gains people have enjoyed have been substantial enough that something like 80% of Americans actually have higher real wages than they did in 2019. But I think that the reality is that the inflation that people see and feel has just been really so powerful that it's kind of overshadowed everything. And the bleakness of consumers have actually felt better about the economy, or they were feeling better about the economy between like May 2023 and sort of September. Then the last 2 months, for whatever reason, they've gotten gloomier again. But you know, if you go back to say middle of 2022, which is when inflation was really high, real wages were still, you know, had not fully recovered. Americans were more depressed about the economy than they were at the basically near the bottom of the global financial crisis in 2009. And, you know, the economy was in a lot better shape in 2022 than in 2009.
Sure.
But inflation was high and it just bummed people out.
Hmm. James, have you dug into the data from any of these polls in terms of how this dissatisfaction breaks down, say, between income brackets or, you know, even party lines? Is this a case of richer Americans being dissatisfied with government spending on programs, or is it more complicated than that? Or are there some partisan issues that are driving how people feel about the economy?
So there are certainly partisan issues, and that has been the case, you know, in polls now for many years. So Republicans in particular feel much worse about the economy when a Democrat is president, and much better when a Republican is in office. The best example of this was that if you looked at people's attitudes toward the economy in January 2017, so December 2016 or whatever, November 2016 to January 2017, so right after Trump got elected, before the election, Republicans were incredibly gloomy about the economy. And as soon as Trump took office, their perceptions of the economy spiked massively. So obviously nothing had really changed about the fundamentals of the economy, but their feelings about the economy had grown significantly better. And the same was true in November 2020 and then January 2021. So partisan attitudes do matter a lot. And Republicans are significantly gloomier about the economy than Democrats are. Having said that, one of the things that is striking is that even Democrats have not been as cheery about the economy, or even just as, you know, feeling okay about the economy as you might expect. Even Democrats, a high percentage of them have been, you know, feeling not so great, and independents have been quite gloomy as well. So partisanship clearly matters, but it doesn't explain it all. On the income front, my perception is that just looking at thinking about some of these polls, there isn't a huge spread. And I actually think one of the things that's quite striking that we could talk about is that the last few years have actually been worse for people at the top of the income spectrum, or let's say the kind of like 80 to 95% of the income spectrum, than people at the bottom. And I actually think that does have something to do with the general kind of negative vibe in the economy. So I think that actually does have an impact, even though it maybe doesn't always quite manifest itself in the polls.
I want to bring in some of our listeners to this conversation. Let's go to Janice in Soho. Janice, thanks for calling the Brian Lehrer Show.
Hello, thanks for taking my call. Yes, I just wanted to add on that I actually work with a lot of people who are very well set up financially, and there seems to be nothing destroying their amounts of money in their bank accounts. I also think that it's in a lot of people's best interest to have what I call, they're doing a selective fake news aspect of this. So they don't want anybody else to think that the economy is good. And your guest addressed some of this in the previous comments. So it's in a lot of people's best interest to create this idiotic concept that there's been nothing good happening in the economy through COVID and since COVID. And this report came out and it is rock solid, and they're still treating it like they treat everything else as fake news. And thank you for giving me some time.
Janice, thanks for your call. And James, any reaction to Janice's comments and this idea of how we talk about some of these reports? Is the narrative part of what is influencing how people are feeling about it?
Yeah, I mean, I think the media narrative has actually had a big impact on the way people feel. There have been a variety of polls or surveys that show that people will actually say things like they've heard twice as many stories about unemployment rising as about, you know, job creation, which makes no sense. I mean, if you think about how many jobs have been created since January 2021 and even since January 2022, even after all the pandemic losses had been recovered, it makes no sense. I mean, you'll sometimes see polls where people will say things like, you know, unemployment is near a 10-year high or whatever, which, you know, unemployment is still below 4% and has been as low as 3.5% this year. And I do think there is a media ecosystem that, for whatever reason, and you know, some of it is partisanship, let's say, whatever, let's call it the Fox News phenomenon or whatever, but it's not just that. I do think there is a media ecosystem that, for whatever reason, has kind of been built a little bit on negativity and gloom. You know, one of the examples I talk about in not this piece that I wrote for The Atlantic, but one I've written about the subject a few times for The Atlantic because it's so striking.
Sure.
That I wrote about a few months ago is a New York Times headline that was it was sort of a report on a very good jobs report, and it said something like, you know, the economy doing well, blah 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 blah, and then it said as fears linger, and that was actually the second time the New York Times had used the phrase as fears linger in a headline about the economy in less than a year. And so it just felt like a symptomatic thing that there is always this sense. So, you know, I mean, if you look, whatever, last month, I mean, we got the third quarter GDP numbers and the economy grew at 4.9% in the third quarter, which is crazy, you know, this long into a recovery. And yet even then there was, well, but what's the dark side of it? There's really been, I think, a real hesitancy to accept that, you know, the economy is not doing by any stretch of the imagination perfect, but it's actually pretty good. And, you know, the other example of this that I have talked about is last winter, Bloomberg ran a piece that said it has this like forecasting indicator, and it said chance of a recession 100%. So that was another example of basically, you know, kind of just the expectation is that things are going to go bad. So that I think partly explains why people are seeing everything through whatever the opposite of rose colored glasses is. I don't know, black colored glasses. I don't know what the difference is.
Some sort of bleak shade. We have a board full of callers, and we've been getting a ton of texts, and I want to read a few of them and give you a chance to respond. A lot of people echoing the sentiment that the media is driving a lot of this narrative, that in fact, they think that the economy is doing better. One listener writes, I believe that the economy is showing that many of the economists' assumptions and models are being proven wrong, but they have to hold on to their erroneous theories and models. One example is that higher wages are bad for the economy. I'm not sure if that person suggests that higher wages are bad for the economy. One that I thought was particularly interesting was related to people's 401ks. This listener writes, I think 401k accounts have taken a beating this year, especially on securities. So seeing those balances decline affects one's perception of wealth. Any reaction to that idea this idea of what your future wealth may be impacted by what's happening right now?
Well, so two things. One is, the stock market has actually had a very good year. Last year was grim. 2022 was really grim. But the stock market in 2023 is now up, I don't know, it's around 15, 16% from the beginning of the year. And I think since Biden took office, it's up probably around that. I think it's around, I can't remember exactly what it is, but I think it's somewhere between 15 and 20%. So I do think that if anything, and you know, the stock market had again was up 2% yesterday. It's rallying because the inflation number came in so low, and so I do think that, you know, if anything, that should probably translate into maybe better consumer sentiment numbers going forward. We'll see how that goes, but I do think that there's like this legacy of last year when the market was down and people got kind of bummed out. The media thing is interesting to me because. One thing I would say is, so one response you'll sometimes get when you talk about this stuff is people will say, well, just look around. And my point is actually like, yeah, look around, like go to the mall or go to the airport or, you know, go to the supermarket, and you will not see empty aisles, and you will not see, you know, empty airports. You will actually have seen over the last 8 months packed stores and packed airports and people spending a lot. And that actually has been one of the big drivers for me of thinking about the fact that, you know, the economy is actually doing well, just quite concretely. So
sure.
Like, I know what a recession looks like. I know what it looks like when people are really feeling bad. And what happens is people cut back significantly on their spending, and they are not doing that. So that's why I think there is something, you know, about the way the story is being covered that does have an impact. And along those lines, I think one thing that's worth thinking about is that if you think about the industries that actually have not done great over the last couple years, they include finance to a certain extent. They certainly include tech, which had a very hard time in 2022 and the beginning of 2023. You'll remember we had those bank failures, and the Silicon Valley Bank failed in early 2023. The startup kind of economy has sort of had to roll back a little bit. And the media business, you know, we know we're wrestling in the media business with a tough advertising market and digital advertising in particular. And I actually think that has had an impact as well on kind of the broader global perceptions of the economy, because media, tech, finance, these are very influential industries in terms of how people generally see the economy, the media, obviously. So I'm not surprised that some of the kind of negativity that people in those industries feel about their own businesses has kind of seeped more generally into the broader views of the economy.
James, before I let you go, we started this conversation and I played a little clip from the House yesterday passing that stopgap measure to avoid a government shutdown. According to CNN, the bill would extend funding until January 19th for priorities, including military construction, veterans affairs, transportation, housing, and the energy department. So that is a crisis averted, at least for now.
For now,
But, you know, does it feel like there's always this potential shutdown with the fact that this potential for a shutdown continues to loom? You know, how does it impact the feelings of the economy or even voters' impressions of the stability of our government?
Yeah, I mean, I do think it has an impact. I do think this sense of kind of lurching from crisis or almost crisis to the next almost crisis has an impact just generally on the way we feel about the economy, the way we feel about the country and the like. And, you know, we went through the whole debt ceiling crisis earlier this year that was, you know, averted at the last minute. This is a little bit different. This is not about the debt ceiling. This is a continuing resolution to fund the government. But, yep, you know, it's basically coming from the same place. And yeah, I think this whole general sense of kind of unease and anxiety that people feel is, I think it permeates our view of sort of the economy. And I would say one other thing, which is I actually think that in that's part of why the rise in inflation was so unsettling to people, is just that it was, you know, it felt new. We hadn't dealt with it in a long time. And I think also there's something about inflation that makes people feel like things are a little bit out of control. Mm. And I think it just, again, contributes to this kind of general sense of, oh, something's off. And I think that explains some of what people are really expressing when they say, I'm much worse off than I was, you know, 2 years ago, even though you probably aren't much worse off than you were 2 years ago.
James, thank you so much for joining me. We're going to leave it there for now. My guest has been James Surowiecki, contributing writer to The Atlantic and the author of The Wisdom of Crowds. We really appreciate you joining us this morning.
Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it. Thanks.
Brian Lehrer, a daily politics podcast, is an excerpt from my live daily radio show, The Brian Lehrer Show, on WNYC Radio, 10 a.m. to noon Eastern Time, if you want to listen live at WNYC.org. Thanks for listening today. Talk to you next time.